deliberately as a souvenir.
Sorry, as he yanked it out of his hand. First point of the 11th game, 5-5. Rude serving. Good stretch on the forehand side from Paul. He's out of position. Rude running him all over the baseline. But now Paul attacks. Rude can't get that back. And it's love 15. He's so dangerous at that. His defence is so good, Tommy Paul, that he can then turn it into attack quicker. It's a flash.
Well, remember, we saw two match points come and go for Tommy Paul in the latter stages of the fourth set.
Yep. He's standing quite a long way back to return this Casper Ruud serve, which means he has more time, and he gets it back into play deep on the backhand side. Goes back to the backhand of Ruud, who chops it straight down the middle. Paul gets a little bit unlucky with his forehand inside in, which hits the tape and bounds miles gets over that. The baseline. Pretty tight net for that to happen. 15-0.
I was going to say, shades of the US Open, which always seemed to me to be the tightest nets across the court.
Yeah, completely.
If a ball hits the tape there, it goes miles.
It does, because it balloons up over the baseline. Whereas at Wimbledon, it tends to just drop dead the other side. First serve missed by Ruud. Or was it a let? I think it might have been a let. Or maybe it was missed. He takes two or three balls from the ball boys, gives them back, and then he only serves with one. He doesn't put one in his pocket. Second serve is good. Good depth on the return from Paul. Steps into a backhand coming forward. Ruud tries to pass. Paul cuts it off. Doesn't actually middle the volley, but it doesn't matter because it just drops stone dead. And it's 15-30.
Well, he was quick to apologise.
Sorry, not sorry.
Sorry, really not sorry at all to go to 15-30, but yeah.
Fist pump, sorry.
Is that
sorry.
What, don't judge other tennis players by your standards.
I'd just be delighted to win the point. 15-30, Ruud kicks the serve out wide and he gets an error. Paul bunts it over the baseline. He does vary that serve well, Ruud. It's a mixture of flatter serves and kick serves and sliders. Trying to keep his opponent guessing. Otherwise, it's too easy for someone as good as Tommy Paul. Missed that one. It's back to 30-all. Ruud serves. Down the tee, ace. Good time for that to happen with 4.5 hours played. The support team feeling the nerves. Probably exhausted by now. Just sitting there for that long is tiring enough.
Well,
a lot of adrenaline for families.
Oh, yes. It's. I mean, I've been in situation of sitting in a player's box watching and it's horrible.
Yeah.
It's like being tortured.
Exactly.
Because you can't really also express yourself that much, because if your player's not doing well, you kind of have to keep a poker face. You don't want to be too up or too down.
Game point, Ruud. Kicker into the body of Paul this time. Up the line goes Ruud. Paul goes cross-court with his forehand. Forehand long from Ruud. Ruud's service routine is very interesting. Missed the first serve. And then he walks away, gets two more balls from the ball boys sometimes, and gives one back. Doesn't always do it, sometimes just gathers one in. It's sort of there's no rhythm to it.
Maybe it's at certain points he feels he needs a little bit more time.
Yeah. It's juice, 5-all juice. Always looking for the slider. Here we go. So look, he's missed the first serve. He walks back towards the ball boy, takes two balls, gives one back. That really interrupts your rhythm of between first and second serve. That's interesting. The kicker is in, and he's into the point. Shot through is the return from Paul, who then, a little bit lazily, surprisingly for him, slices a backhand into the net, having not really moved his feet the way he should have or wanted to.
I wonder if that might be a little hint of fatigue starting to kick in.
You 4.5 hours.
You wouldn't be surprised, would you?
No, that would be totally understandable. I'd have been fatiguing after the half an hour bit, let alone the 4.5 hours. Ruud serves. Into the net. A little bit down. Now, this time he doesn't go back to the... Oh, he does. Because the ball boy throws the ball and it doesn't get to him in the right way. And he takes two, gives one back. Again, it sort of breaks your rhythm. You like to have a very simple rhythm between first and second serve. game point. Good return from Paul. Rude scampers to his right to get it back, and then a drop shot from Paul just kisses the net and drops over.
You're going to hate me for saying this. Earlier in this game, Tommy Paul had a net cord which was unlucky for him. This time, he had a net cord which was somewhat lucky for him.
What?
It's almost as though these things even themselves out.
I'm just trying to wind me up because I'm tired. I'm not going to rise to the bait. But of course, you're wrong. Juice. Slider out wide. Blocked back by Paul at full stretch, and Rude misses the forehand, over pressing. Goes long and wide, and it is break point, Tommy Paul.
Meanwhile, Zverev leading 5-3 now in the second set, having won the first against Quentin Alice, 6-4. So Zverev looking pretty comfortable so far in that match.
The Rude fans are getting nervous now. Paul sensing his chance. Break point, Tommy Paul at 5-5. Serve down the tee. It's a good one, but a better return from Paul. He's got a chance to unload on a forehand. He goes inside in and into the net.
Well, that was a miss from Tommy Paul, wasn't it? He just got a little bunched up. Didn't get his body position right to hit that one. Snatching at it.
Maybe could have gone with the inside-out forehand. Had a bit more room for that, but as you said, got cramped and tried to slam it inside in. It's over the higher point of the net. It's more difficult. Back to Juice. Rude breathes a sigh of relief for a moment, but not for long, because he then sends a forehand over the baseline and looks to his team like, why did you do that? And I think it was him who hit it. And he can't believe he missed it, but it could be, you know, the changing conditions as it gets a bit cooler. Just not quite on it. And it's break point number two for Tommy Paul. Rude tries to get a kick serve. Comes off the tape, goes long. Second serve. It's a kicker to the forehand of Paul, who takes a massive swing at it. A huge cut at it and mishits it totally.
Well, he's crossed it himself, but it was a great serve from Casper Ruud, wasn't it? The kicker, as you said, it came up on Tommy Paul. He was trying to muscle it over at shoulder height.
I think he had that to hit. That was there to hit, but maybe he was expecting a backhand, a serve to the backhand. Juice again. Ace. Ruud finds the slider out wide when he needs it. It's set point. Alexander Zverev on serve, on the Ali serve, about 30-40 at 5-3. And he hoists an enormously high lob, which does land in, and Ali misses it. And that is the end of that second set. It was so high that Ali could have gone away and made a cup of tea and come back, but he still missed it anyway.
It wouldn't be a very French way to handle that situation, would it?
No.
Probably go and make a cup of tea. Maybe go and eat a croissant.
Well, at 11 o'clock at night.
Have a glass of red wine, but
that's better.
Not really what you do in the middle of athletic endeavour.
Well, oh my word, the Empress is back.
You know why? She's checking. She's checking on the snakes.
She's weighing them.
She's doing a snake count.
She's snacking is what she's doing. It's late at night. Needs some help as Paul goes after a forehand. Game point, Rude. Forehand inside out from Paul. Rude chops it back on the backhand. Here comes a drop shot. It's a bit telegraphed, but it was good. Rude gets there. Paul cross court, forehand long. Rude survives. He moves ahead again, 6-5.
Well, goodness me. He's living dangerously, is Casper Ruud. He's surviving. Tommy Paul, will he come to rue those missed opportunities? Is certainly ruining, I'm sure, those two match points in the fourth set.
He really is. Well, that was brave from Ruud under pressure. Both men have had their chances. We mentioned the match points, but also break points, tough games. And it's all been nip and tuck in this match. Zverev in control on court. Philippe Chatrier will return there at the conclusion of this match, and we'll also bring you a few words from Iga Świątek once this one is over. Ruud's family, they're really living every moment with him. Both players' teams up and down, sitting nervous. I was in the hands on the head.
I was in the players' box for one of Andy Murray's Australian Open finals.
Wait, time. What were you doing in there?
Friend of the stars.
Yeah, but what, did they let you in? Yeah. That friend of the stars let you in.
Oh, they were kind enough to offer me a ticket.
Very nice.
To sit in the players' box. I wasn't working that evening, and it was really interesting, but it's
Which
horrible.
Which one was it? Or who was he playing? Novak or Federer?
Djokovic.
Okay. Well, he lost five.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Novak ones go into one.
Yeah, it is nerve-wracking, as you say, and you can't do anything. You can't really even shout. If you're here watching as a fan, you can cheer and you can express yourself and you can groan when somebody double faults and all those things. You can't do any of that when you're supporting, because that's not supportive.
Yeah.
What a player needs actually is to kind of look up and just see, yeah, calm. Are you exuding calmness? I'm in saying that. I don't think he was looking at me.
No, well, I hope he wasn't shouting at you.
No, he wouldn't do that.
No, he wouldn't. He knows better.
He wouldn't get away with that.
He knows better than that. And he picks on the people he can get away with. 15 love. Tommy Paul serving to stay in the match at 5-6. Stands wide on the ad court, gets the kicker and gets a short reply that he sends the forehand into the open court, into the corner. Rude, not really making too much effort to get across for that. 30 love. Maybe accepting the fact that it's going to go to potentially a 10-point tiebreak to decide it. It'll be close to 5 hours by the time that's finished. Ace out wide from Paul. It's a good service game from him.
So when Andy Murray was a teenager, I had been chatting to his mother and we were on our way to meet him. And I told her a joke and she had laughed. And when we got there, she said to Andy, Al's just told me a joke. Why don't you tell him? I just looked at her. That is the worst idea you've ever had.
And did you do that?
Of course I did.
And did Andy laugh?
No, he did not. He looked at me and said, "That's the worst joke I've ever heard." And then he looked at his mother and he said, "I can see why you two get on."
Yeah, Andy's often ribbing Judy for her jokes. As Tommy Paul goes cross-court into the net, 40 love back to 40-30 now. Can you remember the joke?
No, it was probably terrible. You know my jokes.
Yes. Yeah, that is a good point. There's no need to repeat it.
It may not be suitable for the Radio Roland Garros audience.
Well, I think it probably is suitable. It's just not suitable for the air. 40-30, still game point, Tommy Paul, but Rude sniffing an opportunity. Again, Paul stands really wide, kicks the serve out wide. Rude is there waiting for it on the backhand side, gets quickly across to a forehand, hoiks it deep. Paul has to defend it, but gets it back into play deep. The high backhand goes up from Rude, who's then into the rally. The backhand cross court from Paul, cross court from Paul on the forehand, and he misses it. And from 40 love, it is juice, and Casper Ruud is 2 points away once more. Looked like it was going to be an easy service game.
I don't think there's any such thing in this match.
Nor
in any match today, for that matter. Although in saying that's where of course is 40 love up.
Yes.
In the opening game of the third set over on court, Philip Chatrier.
In command on that one. But here it's anyone's pick. Paul serves out wide, misses. Rude waits. Orange shorts, white shirt, white cap. Second serve from Paul. Rude runs around his backhand, pulls the forehand cross court. Great forehand into the corner from Paul, who then mishits a backhand. It lands in. Rude, heavy forehand. He's coming forward on the forehand. Backhand lob from Paul is long. It's match point, Casper Ruud.
Of course it is. I mean, this is the first time, really, leading 6-5, that Rude's been ahead pretty much in this whole match.
It is, yeah.
So, incredible that he now stands at match points up, having saved those match points, of course, in that fourth set.
What does Paul do here? Does he serve and volley? He was doing that a fair bit. It's rude. If he gets a second serve, you can guarantee he's going to run around it and hammer a forehand. First serve is an attempted kicker. goes in the net. Second serve, match point, Casper Ruud. Paul serves, Ruud runs round it, hits a big forehand, shortish. Paul overhits the forehand, it's long over the baseline, and Casper Ruud survives. The number 15 seed gets it done somehow, from two sets to love down. 4-6, 6-7, 6-4, 7-6, 7-5. Paul had two match points in the fourth set, couldn't take them. Ruud gets one match point, takes it. Through to the last 16.
Ruud's support team, some of them are certainly in tears as he stands in the middle of the court, arms in the air, taking the applause. I think it's relief as much as anything. A real heartbreaker for Tommy Paul. Match points come and go, and they've been out there for the best part of 5 hours. And phenomenal effort from the American as he leaves the court. He'll be devastated and disconsolate, but he should be proud because it's a great match. It'll be overshadowed, I'm sure, by other
just
events here today, but certainly very impressive and Ruud sporting in clapping his vanquished opponent off the court.
4 hours and 43 minutes of real battle. You know, such close sets, but it's Casper Ruud who survives, and he will play João Fonseca, the man, the young Brazilian 19-year-old who beat Novak Djokovic earlier this evening, coming from two sets down himself. And we're going to hear from Casper Ruud very shortly. He looks utterly exhausted.
Well, he must be spent, and Alex Kurecha has made his way over there to go and do the honours. And he's just giving Casper Ruud a couple of moments to catch his breath as much as anything else.
Yeah, it's Ruud just putting his watch on, getting himself together, sharing a laugh with Kurecha.
I mean, it's been an eventful week one for Casper Ruud, hasn't it?
Certainly has.
As we said, he was taken to five sets in a very strange, topsy-turvy first round match.
With Seffulin, yeah, he was all over the place in the heat. He was dizzy, feeling awful. It was only when Seffulin got an injury at the end of the fourth set and then a break at the end of the fifth set, end of the fourth, helped him recover while he just waited for some pills to kick in and get through the heat. But he's still there, into the last 16 again, on a surface he loves. And here he is chatting with Alex Kurecha.
Casper, this is just an appreciation from outside. Thank you to you and to Tommy. I mean, you spent almost 5 hours on this court battling, running, suffering, fighting, maybe even enjoying, but on top of everything with an unreal attitude, you and Tommy. So thank you on behalf of this crowd.
Thank you.
Well, you've been having like, kind of, let's say, a few marathons already in this tournament, but you're still there. That proves that working hard and hanging in there till the end, it paid off. So good job, Casper.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, it... You know, these kind of matches are... doesn't always deserve to be one winner. I think it's very, very tough for Tommy to end up losing this match. And... These kind of matches is what we work hard every day for. Tennis is a demanding sport in many ways, physically, mentally, and not many other sports do you need to be focused for 5 hours in a row. And I think we both did our best, a fantastic job. And in tennis there can only be one winner, and today I was lucky it was me.
No, you were not lucky.
a bit, yes.
Well... I don't want to keep you long because it has been such a long day. But considering the conditions that we've been having this week, we know that you love to play under heat with heavy topspin, but I'm not so sure if it's better to play a little bit later during the day.
Yeah, I mean, it's been very hot for sure in the day, and today was some clouds, was a little bit better, but... I'm used to minus 30, not plus 30 in Norway, you know, so it's not so normal for me to have this heat. But tennis is a summer sport. We play outdoor most of the year, and this is not incredible compared to other places, but it's just a bit unusual for Paris. Usually the last years it was around 20 degrees, some days rain, and I think the week that's coming, the temperature will cool down. So I think we finally are on the end of the heat wave. So I'm just going to try to enjoy this night and recover and be ready for another tough match on Sunday.
And can you practice tomorrow, or is it totally day off?
I have to beg for permission from Pedro and my dad to maybe not practice tomorrow. So hopefully they are nice with me tomorrow.
Okay, Pedro and dad, day off for tomorrow for Casper. Félicitations, Casper Ruth, qualifié, 8e de finale de Roland Garros.
It's actually interesting. I don't think. Well, Ruth wouldn't necessarily know that Fonseca beat Djokovic.
No, because he's been out there such a long time. He's going to walk back in and.
He's going to be like, what? No wonder he's tired right now, but he might perk up a bit.
Well, imagine not winning that match, going back to the locker room and finding out that Djokovic had lost, which is the position that Tommy Paul is in. Because there's no question about it, a bit like with Sinner yesterday, everybody else in the draw, it's not that they wish bad things on their rivals, but they would have perked up because they would have known that their chances of winning the title have improved markedly.
100% as Zverev facing break points, and he is broken.
Yes.
Had the early break in this set, 2-1 he led, and now 2-love, and it's now 2-1. So I think while they change ends, we're just going to hear quickly from Iga Świątek, who won earlier against her compatriot Magdalinette 6-4, 6-4, and took time to speak to the press.
Yeah, for sure, you know, I'm happy to be in a fourth round, and it was a good match. I played much better than in Miami, so you know, could use my forehand topspin and second serve, so I'm happy with the match.
You know who you play in the fourth round, Marta. I'm just curious. I think it's a really intriguing matchup given your success here at Roland Garros and her success, you know, this season. Just what do you think of the matchup, and how are you going to adjust to the conditions given it's going to be, I think, cooler?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see about the temperature and about the tension of the rackets, but for sure the game will look a bit differently. So I guess tomorrow also it's going to be hot, so it's going to be, we will need to adjust, you know, that day, which is not a perfect situation, but both players have the same. So yeah, we'll do our best. And for sure, yeah, Marta is having a great season. She always had a game to play well. Did some, you know, semifinals of big tournaments before, and now she won Madrid. So good for her. But you know, I'm gonna focus on myself, prepare tactically as before any other match, and we'll see.
You've played early in each round so far. First match on. I just wondered whether you request that first match, and how often you actually request to play early or late or whatever.
Yeah, I requested.
Iga, I was wondering how you're feeling about your shot selection lately, and kind of, I guess, more specifically, like how you're feeling about your decision-making process. The last time you played Magda, obviously, like, totally different situation, but you talked about how much trouble you were having between, like, brain and intuition, and it seems like that is not the case anymore. Like, last match, you were like, yeah, I was making mistakes, not a problem.
Well, for sure, you know, this is something that I wanted to improve because I was not in a good place tennis-wise. And yeah, it was hard to play with my intuition on the hard court season this year. So I feel like we focused a lot on that with Francisco at the beginning. And, you know, also for me to not be rushed into decisions because, I don't know, I feel like I'm going to miss or something. So I feel much more solid, and that gives me, you know, confidence that I can, you know, play the next ball back and next ball back, you know, that I don't need to finish the rally straight away. So yeah, now I feel that for most of time I make good decisions and kind of rational. There are moments where I go for it, and especially in this weather, maybe a bit too much, you know. But we'll see how it's going to also change with the conditions, a little bit colder weather, you know. I think we'll need to put some more energy into the ball for it to fly. So it's going to be interesting. But overall, yeah, I feel like the decision-making has been better. And that's an improvement. And, yeah, I mean, after how I played in the States, honestly, anything battery is positive, so I should also appreciate it because it wouldn't be possible without Francis.
How would you describe your time at the Rafa Nadal Academy? How did that help for clay season? And could you please share with us some advice, some conversation you had with Rafa Nadal before clay season? Thank you.
It was great. It gave me a lot of motivation and energy that I needed, you know, before the clay court swing. So it was a really good week, probably the most intense week of practice that I had lately, and really solid. And Rafa was there for two practices, which I really appreciate. It was a huge honor for him. I mean, for him, for me. It was a huge honor for me to have him on the court and the privilege, you know. And yeah, he gave me some technical tips. But most of all, we kind of spoke about some of his experiences. And it was really nice to, you know, to see that he's so open to giving advice. Really good guy.
Night session on Radio Roland Garros.
Radio Roland Garros.
That was the voice of Iga Świątek, just describing her thoughts after her win over Magda Linette, probably about 50 hours ago.
3 days. It could be a week.
It was in the first match on Châtre, so not that long ago, probably about 2 o'clock-ish in the afternoon, but a lot has happened since on this court, including, if you haven't already been across it, Novak Djokovic losing in 5 sets, having been 2 sets up against João Fonseca of Brazil. Fonseca reaching the 4th round with a phenomenal performance under pressure. We are in the 3rd set of Zverev, Alexander Zverev, the number 2 seed, against Quentin Alice of France. Zverev taking the first 2, 6-4, 6-3, was 2 love up with a break. It's now 2-all. Zverev serving, Alice having got the break back.
Rose says, I left the Rude match in the 3rd set, went to 2 banks and a supermarket, and the match is still on.
It's a bit like during the Isner-Mahou match in 2010, which went 11 hours, 5 minutes, across 3 days, admittedly. One American journalist reported it along the lines of, because it was during the World Cup was happening at the same time, 2010, and he went into Wimbledon Village nearby, watched a whole football match, and came back and picked up where he left off. Nothing much happened, just moved on a little bit, carrying on. Match went on forever, didn't it? Incredible.
Well, Gigi was doing commentary on it.
Yeah. It was an incredible match. I sat out on court for the last day when they resumed at something like 28 all or something, and it was in the end, what was it? I can't even remember what the score was in the end. It's an absolutely insane match ridiculous that John Isner eventually won and couldn't walk in his next match and got beaten, unsurprisingly.
I mean, it's one of the reasons why Wimbledon changed its rules about 5th sets and foreshortened them, or at least put a more definite end time on them.
Yeah, still took a while. They do like to take their time sometimes, Wimbledon, with their change. But they got there in the end. They started off with a tiebreak at 12-all. Bizarrely, they just wanted to be a bit different.
And then, of course,
eventually, once the Grand Slams actually started talking to each other, it became 6-all in all of 4 of them.
Yeah, with a match tiebreaker. And I'm a huge fan of the match tiebreak format, actually, because
it's worked out well, hasn't it?
I think you still get all the drama. I think you get the ebb and flow, and I think you get time for a player to come back. So somebody might go a mini break up, but it's not necessarily catastrophic. So I think that's the best way to go. In fact, I would, and this is slightly controversial, but if you're talking about finding ways to shorten matches, I would actually look at having a match tiebreaker in lieu of a 5th set.
Yeah, it's something that's been discussed in the past. I think your argument would be stronger on a day when we haven't had the drama that we've had, you know, because people obviously are coming off this incredible comeback from João Fonseca that was made all the better probably by coming from 3-1 down in the 5th. You know, the added drama of that.
Yeah, but
I understand. Yeah,
you and I know there are so many 5-setters.
Can't guess.
And yes, we've seen some crackers today, but there are many five setters which actually aren't that dramatic. They're just very long.
Just up and down. Zverev, 40-15 at Tool. Yep, lots of ideas around for potentially shortening the game. All matches outside of the four Grand Slams are over best of three sets these days. Zverev, big serve, got back nicely by Alice on the backhand, who then wipes the baseline with another firmly struck two-hander. Lovely backhand. Drop shot from Alice is good. Zverev's not going to get it there. Too good. 40-30.
I mean, it used to be the case that you had sometimes best of five set finals.
Yeah.
Having played best of three all through the week, as it was in those days, not 2 weeks. And
again, we had some crackers.
You know. Well, the Rome final, I think 2006. Yeah, with Federer and Nadal, which I think is the best men's tennis match I've ever seen. And that was extraordinary.
Yeah, it was the one where Federer had two match points in the fifth set, couldn't take them. And Nadal won. Federer, it's interesting when you look at Federer's career. He's had a lot of matches relative to most players where he's had match points and lost. I mean, they've all been against, generally, either Nadal or Djokovic, but still, there are a few others too.
Well, Grand Slam final.
Yeah. Two Grand Slam semis, US Open semis, and then the final at Wimbledon in 2019. Zverev holds to lead three games to two. Jody makes the point that Tommy Paul has a bit of a history of, you know, getting close to victory and not winning. It is, he does lose a lot of close matches, and his mental strength has been questioned. He does get to the latter stages of some of these tournaments, but maybe that's what's holding him back.
Could be that. As you said, quite often he runs into players who are just a tiny bit better than him or have a more complete game than him. He's a very good mover, as you said, but he does also play quite high-risk tennis at times.
Yeah, that's very true.
Liz says, thank heavens... Elizabeth, sorry. Says, thank heavens Ruud came through that marathon. I was beginning to think my favour was essentially the kiss of death. Well, join the club, Elizabeth. And both my bottom half semi-final picks, sorry, bottom half semi-final picks were going out in the third round. I hope I haven't put a hex on Tien and Tiafo tomorrow. Where has Jesper de Jong come from? I'm not familiar with him at all. Is he the lucky loser who came in when Arthur Fils pulled out?
He is a lucky loser. He's from the Netherlands. That's where he's come from. Maybe not immediately today, but in general, yeah, he was a lucky loser. Scraping his way into the draw, lost in qualifying. Where is he in the draw? Let's see. He is. Yeah, so he now plays the winner of tonight's match, Zverev and Alice. He came in, he beat Stan Wawrinka in the first round, which is a very good performance.
And ending Stan Wawrinka's
Roland Garros career.
Yeah, certainly Roland Garros career.
He's playing the rest of the year. He doesn't. There's, you know, a lot of talk about whether he'll get a wild card for Wimbledon. I was saying the other day I didn't think he would, and I just found out today that Stan doesn't think he's going to get one either. He actually hasn't got a very good record at Wimbledon for all his brilliance. And although it would be nice to say goodbye to him there, he very poor record. I think maybe one quarter final was his best. Definitely could have done better at Wimbledon than that, but there are other options. There's Monfils, for example, there are a couple of others looking for wild cards. So, never know. So, he's done well to get to the fourth round. And he's a good player. He played a few years ago against Zverev. He had a very good match. Almost beat him, so that'll be a rematch if Zverev comes through this. Alice is sort of growing in this match.
Yeah, he's a little bit rejuvenated.
Oh, Zverev's looking at the mark. Alison Hughes has come down slowly. I think it's going to be wide, you know. It is indeed.
Not popular.
Crowd don't like this.
He's very well within his rights to check that mark. Did so in a perfectly polite and reasonable way.
And Elise, I think, you know, the mark, I was going to say the mark doesn't lie, but sometimes it does. But they clearly were both okay with it. It's 15-all. Could be a bit of a turning point in this game. Serve onto the service line, goes back behind Zverev, who chips the backhand, and in comes Talis, and he misses the forehand, trying to be just too good with it. Should have put it short, instead went deep, and it went over the baseline, and it's 15-30. You know, one line call can make all the difference sometimes.
Well, this is a game where the margins are both huge and absolutely tiny.
Yeah. Totally true.
Jody says, part of why I think they should keep majors best of five is because if they do go best of three, there won't be anything different to a Masters tournament. Best of five makes the majors special.
Yes, that is a good argument for it. And tradition, of course. You know, there's everyone who's won this tournament for going back a long, long time have played over the best of five sets. And you want to, a lot of people want to stick with that. That's fine. Did you read the message from Lisa in Australia?
On email or on
email?
Oh, yes.
Did you?
Not yet.
Okay, good. I'll read it. Lisa. Hi from Australia. Just woke up and saw Fonseca won against Novak. You little ripper. I love Fonseca, his game and attitude. This is an exciting Grand Slam, which will have an exciting outcome. Thanks for bringing it to us with such fun and humour. The chuckles I could hear. That's Stefan, who kindly laughs at some of our jokes. Two break points for Zverev to get ahead by a break in this set again. He's not going to get the first one, though, because of a fine forehand up the line from Alice. Yes, thanks, Lisa. It's very nice of you.
Is there a more Australian phrase in the entire lexicon than ripper. You little ripper?
Probably not.
Love it. Thank you for your messages.
Fair dinkum. Fair dinkum, mate.
I think you probably hear in real life, you probably hear you little ripper more than yes. Fair dinkum.
That was just on Neighbours, wasn't it? Serve down the tee is right onto the line and Alice getting himself out of trouble. 15:40, back to juice.
You can email us, frenchopenradio@fft.fr. And Simon, what's the X handle?
Oh, that's rendering _gr something.
At radio _RG.
Serve down the tee. Alice, hanging in there. Gets the crowd on his side, little fist pump.
Mayank says, night session fans getting a bit of bad luck tonight with such a one-sided match when the day session people got that Djokovic-Fonseca thriller. I mean, I don't think it's that one-sided. It's certainly not over, and Alice is starting to play better. He's settled into this match.
Yeah, he's playing well. He's hitting some big shots and getting himself out of trouble in this game. Big forehand. He's going to have a short forehand to deal with. Puts it on the angle. Pass in the net from Zverev and a holder serve. And he is absolutely getting the crowd behind him, Quentin Alice. It is three games apiece in this third set. Hour and 55 on the clock. Time coming round to about 11:35 local time. Night session here usually begins at 8:15 p.m. but it was pushed back because of the late finish to the Djokovic Fonseca match. It was about an hour late starting, at least.
They were very quick turning it around. They cleaned the whole stadium, which is no easy feat. So well done to all the hard-working staff here. Because, of course, as you mentioned, the night session crowd are sort of held outside, so they're waiting to get in.
That's right. Sometimes the US Open in particular, it's almost like they're behind a cage waiting to come in.
Yeah, they queue up, don't they?
Caged animals by the time they get on there. I've seen some interesting scenes there late at night. Some rioting in the stands. There was a fight during a Djokovic match once. Lots of drinking going on, lots of burger smells flying around. It's a bit more civilised here, isn't it?
It's just different, aren't they? They're all really different. I quite like the US Open sort of slightly more chaotic feeling about it. I remember watching a match on one of the outside courts and there was a barbershop quartet positioned basically right by one of the entrances and you could absolutely hear every word they were singing. And
that's still a thing.
I've watched a match get suspended because there was too much smoke from the burger van next to the court. It just has a kind of slight madness, pleasing madness about it, the US Open.
Yeah.
You also get some incredible atmospheres there in the night session and on the grandstand court and all over the place, really. I mean, it's a very different feel to here, but it's kind of wonderful in its own way.
Yeah, everything, they all have their little charms. It's always good. It's nice to visit them all if you ever get a chance. It's 15 all, 3 all as Zverev nets a forehand.
So what's your favourite thing about the other two?
Favourite thing about Melbourne, Australian Open, is being away from the British winter. That would be the number one thing.
Reasonable.
Second thing is obviously I'm very lucky that I get to stay with Courtney. Courtney Walsh, part of our commentary team here. I stay with him and his wife in Melbourne, which is lovely. We get to play tennis a bit in between all our work. And I personally love the Australian lifestyle of, you know, going out for breakfast and, you know, getting ready for the day all that way. You're jet lagged, so you tend to wake up a little bit earlier and get yourself into the day that way. Well, nice Australian coffee. And Wimbledon. Well, it's Wimbledon's. I mean, I love grass court tennis. It does take a bit of adjustment after clay to get onto the grass because you've got such phenomenal ball striking on clay, and then sometimes you don't have any of that on the first couple of days of grass while the players adjust. But Wimbledon is unique, isn't it? So it's very aesthetically nice to look at. The flowers are great and everything, and I think it's still nice that they don't have a night session. From a working point of view, it's great because we've done it at 11 o'clock, but it has all the history and tradition, and its uniqueness comes through. Double fault from Zverev, not at a good time. 3-3, his fourth double of the match. I think I'm right in saying that either all of them or the majority of them have been on that ad court. So, a bit of work to be done in this game. Remember, he was a break up in this set, 2-2. Doesn't want to go down a break. Serves at 30-all out wide. Return on the forehand side from Alice. Just takes all the pace off the backhand, so Zverev ups it on the forehand. Then he goes inside out. The lob goes up. Zverev is underneath it on the service line. Should put it away. Doesn't quite, as Alice uses two hands to get it back up in the air. It's short, though, and Zverev should punish this one, and he does. 40-30.
Well, there was a moment in the middle of that rally where you thought, Zverev hasn't quite done enough. Alice is playing so much better at this stage of the match. It's just taken him a while to start feeding off the crowd a little bit more. It's taken the crowd a little while to get into it themselves. It's kind of a symbiotic relationship now.
Yeah. Anyway, the crowd also needs something to get behind, so... And he's giving it to them and he's getting something back. Good return on the backhand. Backhand drop shot from Zverev is absolutely brilliant. Much, much better than when he tries it on the forehand. Alice was running full pelt but got nowhere near it. Kept on running and sat down on his bench instead. So Zverev leads 4-3 in this third set and by 2-0. 2 hours exactly on the clock. I was going to say, but I'd put on a bit of Queen if I was in charge. And here we go.
Is this your choice? Did you put a request in?
Why should I? It's a good one for clapping and stamping your feet, isn't it? In the stadium.
I don't know if they're quite joining in yet.
No, they should be. Sure.
How big were Queen in France? Question for Stefan.
Good question. Pretty big. Yeah, they're a huge band, aren't they? Absolutely are. Still. Even with no Freddie Mercury, but still going strong.
Kim says, hi, Lady E and Simon. Fantastic shot calling by all the Radio Roland Garros team, as always. I look forward to it every year. However, can you please not talk about Federer losing matches, having had match point down? As this is very triggering for some of us Fed fans.
Yes. It's a very fair point. That 2019 one would definitely hurt. So they're strangely, Federer... I expect him in the US Open in press conference after that. I was trying to sort of hint at that, saying, you know, is that the one that got away? And he actually said that was less painful than the US Open finally lost to Del Potro. I think he thought he was going to win. He should have won. That would have been 6 in a row. But I didn't believe him. I mean, I'm sure that was very painful, but losing the Wimbledon final at age 37 and... 2 match points, and he played so well. He was the better player of the two by a mile. Djokovic just played better tie breaks. It's the beauty of the scoring system. And didn't finish it off on match points. Sorry to mention it again, Kim.
I mean, you've really triggered Kim now, haven't you? He's probably sat weeping in the corner.
Exactly. Zeldin. Big forehand return on the opening point from Zverev. Backhand is netted by Alice. I was going to say earlier that Roland Garros had just clipped up Casper Ruud talking after his win about the weather. He was like an amateur weatherman, wasn't he? With his detailed forecast of what's coming next week. Okay, temperature, a little bit of rain, a bit cooler, 19, 20, that'll be better. I think the heat wave is over.
So any time a player says, well, conditions are the same for both of us, I don't really pay much attention. I think here more than anywhere else, because it does have such a bearing on how the court plays, how the balls move. A lot of players were saying, I know Rybakina said after her defeat that the ball was sort of flying all over the place.
She couldn't control it, could she? Yeah. And the ball goes fast through the air, fast off the racket. Can be difficult. It's 15-all because Zverev almost hit the back fence with a backhand return, but now Elise drops a drop shot short. And just as the last time he was up this end, he's in trouble on his serve. 15-30. Zverev pushing for a break that could be enough to finish off this match with a service game to come. That drop shot was halfway up the net. It was not a good one. 15-30, serve down the tee. Forehand from Zverev is pretty big. He's got to move into forward to get to another one. Goes cross court into the net. Sort of turns away in disgust.
Can we think of any more superstitions?
Superstitious players. Well, there were obvious ones about not stepping on the lines.
Yes.
Sharapova was queen of that, and a lot of the players. Serena Williams, first change of ends, always went around the other side of the net for some reason or other.
Rafael Nadal, I'm not sure if it's a superstition so much as a sort of
idiosyncrasy.
Compulsion, but the lining the bottles up as Nadal did.
Yeah, that was...
And again, that interview that I referred to earlier, he talks a little bit about that, about how actually the more stress he was under, the more he relied on that.
A little tame backhand from Zverev gives Elise game point at 40-30. Yeah, that's the Rafael Nadal documentary coming out on Netflix today, but Eleanor was referencing an interview that he did with BBC World Service. Also did one with CNN last week where he talked about similar things. But leaving house. At one stage, he couldn't leave the house without a water bottle in his hand. It was just too much stress, and he got himself out of it with a bit of therapy and help. Or probably one of his family just nicked it out of his hand. Second serve, Elise at 40-30. Backhand return is good from Zverev, but that's a brilliant drop shot from Elise, just as good as the one from Zverev in the last game. Now we're level at 4-all.
Well, the way Nadal tells it, it's he went to see the therapist and he said, I don't know what's going on, I can't let go of this bottle. And the therapist said, but you are under quite a lot of stress.
Yeah. Lizzie in Utah is so excited that tennis has been on so late today. Any chance Alice can turn this round and give us two more hours? I'm sure you two would have such a blast working that late. Well, Lizzie, you know, we do love it. He's got a chance. He's definitely got a chance. It's not over yet, this match.
I love the night sessions on Radio Roland Garros, because you lot out there listening are always on such good form as well.
Yeah.
You keep us entertained.
Zverev begins his service game at 4-all, so it starts with a massive ace down the middle, 215 kilometres an hour.
Bill says, Kim and me both, with reference to being triggered by talk of Roger Federer missing match points. I don't think I've screamed at the television more than I did during the 2019 Wimbledon final. Such a heartbreaker.
15 love. 4-all, Zverev. Huge serve. Lobbed back on the backhand side by Alice, and then Zverev cleverly just cuts across the smash. Plays it down the line, 30 love.
Well, Jonathan's, I think he might be not so much triggering as slightly provoking the Federer fans out there. Was Federer the worst closer of all the truly greats?
Well, yeah.
Oh, Jonathan, take
that's
cover.
That's what I mean. He had a lot of match points, losses from match point. I think I would say definitely more than the other two. But whether that makes him a bad closer, I wouldn't say so necessarily. 30 love. Zverev serves out wide, too good for Elise. It's a good service game from Zverev. Looking to put the pressure on the Frenchman. as another ball ricochets into the stands and somebody holds on to it.
Give it back. And
someone else suggests that they should sign it.
Yes. We're not going to have any tennis balls left by the end of this match.
Well, Jody was pointing out, you know, what's the fuss with the tennis balls? They've got loads of balls, just let them keep them. But they only have two cans of balls for each rotation of seven and first seven games, and then every nine. So if you do lose a couple, it doesn't matter really. It just slows the game down even more because you have to get one from the other end or wherever it is. And that's what you don't want. Double fault from Zverev. Another one from the ad court. Fifth one of the match for the German.
But it's not as if also you can just go and open a new can of balls because they'll be in a completely different condition. I mean, we were hearing earlier how Casper Ruud was picking out three balls and then choosing the one with the least fluff. So the condition of the ball is really important as well.
Yeah. Serve into the net. Zverev annoyed with himself. Jody saying that 2019, one of the match points, Djokovic hit one of those miracle returns on a Federer serve, just like he did when he played him at the 2011 US Open. Yeah, it was the first one, wasn't it? It was right back at his feet and Federer tried to hit a forehand inside out, which he made a mess of. Cross court goes Zverev, pulls Alice out of position, then he goes up the line with a forehand, which is way too good. Too much power, too much placement. And it puts him a game away from victory in this match. 5-4, he leads.
Well, none of us, unless there's someone listening who can confirm this, none of us know what it's like to stand there and be match points up in a Grand Slam final.
No.
The level of stress and the extraordinary pressure you feel and the opportunity you feel in that moment, how anybody even lifts their racket arm up, I don't know. And you know, yeah. Players will talk about their legs turning to jelly at that moment. But we're really getting into it now with our French classics.
Is this Jacques Brel? No. Oh, yeah, Charles Aznavour, of course.
Of course.
Of course. See, look how many I know. Not in the right order, obviously.
You're almost an expert in French music.
There's a few French flags being waved in the stadium. There'll be a few more flags being waved tomorrow night in the PSG stadium when the Champions League final is being played in Budapest. But there'll be fans watching it here.
There will be. And it got a bit lively around these parts this time last year when PSG
won the
title here and fans went on a bit of a tear around the local area.
Got a bit excited.
Yeah, or had a riot, burning cars up and smashing lots of bottles.
Tomato. Right, Ellie's serving to stay in this match. 4-5. Starts with a very good serve down the tee. That'll do.
15-0.
Good start from the Frenchman. Second serve down the tee to the forehand of Zverev, who gets it back into play, then reaches down low. Alice at the net as he comes in off a good backhand. Backhand volley doesn't go away. Zverev, though, is basically a physics-wise impossible to smash that ball at that speed past Alice without it going long. And that's what happened.
Beth says, hi, Lady Ian Simon. Talking about triggering, I wonder if Zverev realises how much I shout at the radio every time he misses a point. If he realised how much he is garnering my displeasure, he might, perhaps, up his game. Beth in New Zealand. Well, good. I'm going to go with good morning, Beth.
Yep. Say so. Might even be lunchtime by now. In fact, I think it probably would be. Coming up to. Better from Zverev pushing Alice behind the baseline, but Alice then hits the baseline and gets himself into ascendancy in the point. Zverev reaching low on the backhand side, moving side to side, forehand cross court on the angle from Alice, just wide. Mayank says, is there a French version of Midnight Madness? Midnight Madness, for those of you who don't know, is what happens in the Australian Open when Peter Mercato, who is always on late at night, starts to descend into a little bit of delirium as things go late into the wee hours in Australia, but it's very good fun.
I don't know. Roland Garros raving?
I don't know. I think it's like middle of the night innuendo if Gigi's on.
That's true.
Hoisted return on the forehand side from Zverev. gets himself back into the point, back in at the line from the German. Forehand cross court from Elise is good. Now Zverev goes across, slices the forehand up the line. Elise runs round it to hit the forehand, puts it in the net. And it's 30-all, 2 points away.
I would mention Antoine.
And Antoine.
Who loves a double entendre.
Exactly.
And says it in a very deep French voice.
Who doesn't? Crowd trying to get behind Elise. Jodie says she reckons being match point up is less stressful than being match point down. Sometimes you, when you're match point down, you just go for it. You think, I've got nothing to lose. So we have 2 points away here on the Elise serve. Frenchman serving, 30-all.
Let
just lands on the centre line. So have another. It was out. Might have been wide, actually. Second serve. Yes, it was. Zverev gets good depth with his backhand return. Elise has to wait. That's not the position to hit a drop shot from Zverev, who tried to play a backhand drop shot, which he's done successfully lots of times tonight, but from way low down and deep in the court. Game point.
He wasn't really in position to hit that at all, was he? He was quite static, almost sort of bent down and tried to guide it over.
Game point. Elise to level up at 5-all. Serve is good. Backhand chip back by Zverev is also good. He's got a chance at the pass. He goes up the line. Forehand volley is good, but backhand from Zverev wide.
Yes.
Nice hands at the net from Elise, and it's 5-all. And he's waving his racket over his head. He wants more. Crowd want more. I was going to say we want more. But I didn't. We don't know. It could be 5 sets. There have been a couple of comebacks today from two sets down.
It's the day for it, isn't it? And this crowd certainly cheering their man on.
Allez les bleus.
S'il vous plaît.
Rings around. Court Philippe Chatrier.
Alison Hughes, very experienced umpire, doing an excellent job of just bringing things back to silence so that Zverev can serve.
Gives the players a bit more time, a bit of leeway. Second serve from Zverev at 5-all. Serve's good. Elise runs around it to the forehand. And then Zverev gets lucky with a backhand that hits the tape and falls short of the of Elise, who was running across the baseline but couldn't make the move, the adjustment forward. Give you a reminder of what's going to come tomorrow at the end of this game. Lots of intriguing matches on the schedule, as always.
And it nearly is tomorrow.
Yes, it nearly is, in 3 minutes' time. Zverev serves into the body of Elise, but he's standing so deep it doesn't make any difference. And up the line goes Zverev. Elise off the ground as he hit the backhand, and the backhand up the line is missed by Zverev. 15-all. Starting to get a bit tense here. Oh, ball girl misaims her roll of a ball. It hits the bench, pops up. The other girl runs and snuffs it out of the air. 15-all. 5-all. Hugh served down the tee. Elise way behind the baseline, gets it back into play again. Again, the ball drops short and low from Zverev, but Elise is equal to it. Forehand from Zverev's got nothing on it, and it gets punished by Elise. Inside in. You can't just play the ball down the middle of the court and expect someone to not have a go at it.
No, and this is something of a criticism that gets levelled at Zverev, is in pressure moments, he can get passive. Doesn't really go after his shots.
Merci.
5-all, 15-30, Zverev serve. Pressure on the German. Again, Elise serving, standing way behind the baseline. So Zverev decides to serve and volley, and he gets caught with the return at his feet. And it's 2 break-back points for Elise. Which would give him a 6-5 lead. Give him a chance to serve out this set. Extend the match.
What do you think about that play? The serve and volley.
Well, when you're not a natural net player, and I think serving down the tee was not the place to go. It wasn't the wisest choice. I think it's an all right when the returner is standing deep. That makes sense, but wrong side to do it. In comes Zverev again. Backhand volleys. Very, very good from Zverev. Wow, I think Elise thought that was going to go wide, and it hit the line.
It had to be good. It was.
He's much better on the backhand volley than the forehand volley. Zverev's got a much better